on WMUK 102.1 FM, online at WMUK.org. I'm Cara Lawrence. Here today to talk about this Sunday's Family Discovery Series concert from the Kalamazoo Symphony is Assistant Conductor Daniel Breyer. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming back. Last week we were here talking about the world of Stravinsky. May I ask how that concert went?
The concert went very well. It was a very exciting time for all of us, on all of the musicians on the stage, lots of difficult music. And Raymond, of course, had a lot of really interesting stories about Stravinsky, so I think it was a really great success.
Well, today we can tell a few stories about Ludwig van Beethoven, mm-hmm. and explain how this program is designed for young people to become interested in music. Maybe I'll just hand it over to you to tell us about the concert.
Yes, well, on Sunday we are doing it's really a famous production of Beethoven Lives Upstairs. It was first released on cassette tape many, many years ago, and now it has won just about every kind of award it could have won. It's been changed into a movie, and now it's in a full concert with actors. And so on Sunday, the kids will be able to come in and meet a little boy who this madman moves upstairs. And this little boy starts writing letters to his uncle and finds out that this madman is a very famous composer. And so they will learn all these interesting stories about Beethoven, learn a little bit about his life. But the greatest part for me is that they get to hear his greatest hits.
You're conducting the concert, and members of the KSO will be on stage, I take it.
Yes.
Who else will be on stage with you?
Well, we have two professional actors that are flying in. This whole production is by Classics Kids, and they have a whole team of actors and directors, and so it's really quite a difficult thing to pull together. On Saturday, we'll have all these technical lighting run-throughs and then make sure everybody's on the same page there. And then the orchestra will arrive. Then we'll have to run it through and find out where all the kinks are. But they're really great. They're professionals, and they do this every week of the year. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I don't think you could ask for a better kind of preparatory collaboration with a group that does this professionally around the country.
Yeah, it's very true. And they come in, you know, when we first contracted them, they sent all of their lighting plans and all their stage plans. So it's pretty impressive to see how they've put that package together.
People can find information on tickets to the Family Discovery Series at KalamazooSymphony.com. Now, how many Family Discovery Series programs do you present in a season?
Well, we typically do two. This year is a special year because we are doing three performances of The Nutcracker, so we will actually have a series of five concerts this year.
All right, and KalamazooSymphony.com is where you can find out information on that. So tell me about how the story of Beethoven and this little boy introduces music to the audience. I mean, when do you get a chance to hear what Beethoven is writing?
Ah, yes. It's really great because when we first are introduced, we hear a few lines from the actors, and then we just jump right into the music. And the way this production is put together is the music is one of the strong focal points. And rather than just finding the greatest hits, which they did, they found all of the greatest music he wrote, they've also picked moments that have a really great immediate emotional appeal. And so when we find Beethoven at his most mad composer-like, you know, state, we have music of great turmoil. And then when we see him experiencing loss, we have music of great depth. And so when they put this all together, they really did a good job of finding the emotional impact and putting it to underlie the story.
I really understand that you need great characters and to draw kids in. And of course, you've already got great music. Is it a stretch to call Beethoven a madman? I mean, is there a reason that you could characterize him like that?
I think that, you know, he is such a complex character, and I think that that's probably why he is known as one of the greatest composers that really ever lived. I think at least every list that I've ever seen, he's usually within the top three. And one of the reasons is he lived an incredibly varied life. He experienced great loss. He even lost his hearing. I mean, that's the worst possible thing that could happen to a musician. And then there's also moments of great compassion where he took under his own custody his nephew, Carl. And after his brother had died, and Carl even grew very resentful of Beethoven. But, you know, who got all of Beethoven's stuff when he died was Carl. So Beethoven also wanted to marry, and he really tried hard, but he never was able to be successful in that area. So I think one of the great things about Beethoven is, and you can hear it in his music, is he lived a life that was filled with regrets, filled with times of difficulty, filled with great triumphs, filled with great popularity. And really, you get it all in his life and in his music.
Mm-hmm. So he can be, and of course we know, you know, you could call him a madman, or people might consider him peculiar because of his deafness and the things he was doing to try to really hear things, you
right.
know, like pressing his ear against the body of a forte piano,
yes.
and using ear trumpets, and his whole personal care regime was not that good,
understand. No, it was not that good. He was known to have living conditions which were awful. And he had stuff all over the floor. He very often forgot to empty his chamber pots. I mean, what's really great is to this little boy in this production, he seems like a madman. But one of the things that I enjoy so much is that the uncle is able to walk him through it and talk him through all of these little idiosyncrasies and these quirks that this little boy is seeing. And he's able to write these letters to this little boy. And soon the little boy learns what a real great, you know, hero he is.
Well, let's hear some of the genius of Beethoven and sample music from the Symphony No. 5, which will be heard on Sunday at 3 o'clock in Chenery Auditorium. And we'll come back and talk about some of the other activities.
Yes.
On Sunday, including the instrument petting zoo.
Yes, not to be missed.
Here's a recording that, in fact, I haven't heard before. This is one that you brought in yourself.
Yes.
Who's the conductor again?
The conductor is John Nelson, and he's an American conductor. He was born in Costa Rica to missionary parents. He has a strong local connection. Well, not quite local, but he has been based out of Chicago for a long time, and he has a whole organization called Soli Deo Gloria in Chicago that he's artistic director of.
Well, let's hear him conducting the Ensemble Orchestral de Paris.
Yes.
That's the first movement of the Fifth Symphony, if anyone out there didn't know, music of Beethoven. If you tuned in during the music, I'm speaking with assistant conductor of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, Daniel Breyer. And Daniel, you'll be conducting Beethoven Lives Upstairs on Sunday at Chenery Auditorium. Music or the program starts at 3 o'clock, but the petting zoo will be available before that.
Yes. So at 2 o'clock, we are starting the petting zoo. If you have not been to a petting zoo, especially with your children, you must do it sometime. It is a really great and fun thing. And it's really fun for adults, too, because there's all these different instruments that you can try out and you can find figure out oh, does my daughter like this or does she like this? And it's just a lot of fun. And sometimes, you know, kids love to explore. And so maybe your child plays the piano but wants to see what it's like to play a trumpet. Well, come to the instrument petting zoo. Mm-hmm. And then at 2:40, which is 20 minutes before the concert, we will have a little meet and greet with me. And I'll probably bring one of the actors or maybe one of the musicians along, and we'll have some question and answer, and we'll talk a little bit about the program. Maybe I'll share a few secrets that no one else in the audience will know, and then you can be head right into the auditorium for a great concert.
The petting zoo is part of the cost of the ticket?
Yes,
it's all
free.
Yeah. The tickets are available through the KalamazooSymphony.com website. When you appear in these productions, are you generally in concert formal wear, or can that change on occasion?
It changes on occasion. Generally, when we have actors and all of the lighting, the musicians on the stage generally will wear all black, just so that we don't distract or anything. Sometimes if we've got, you know, a white shirt on or something, the light will catch it wrong. And so we just, we'll probably be in all black for this.
I have to ask, have any instruments been damaged during a petting zoo, or are you concerned about, you know, how kids handling instruments?
Well, I'm sure that instruments have been damaged before in a petting zoo, but we have a lot of adults there, and so it's almost one-on-one. You know, if your child is going to be holding a violin, there will be an adult there right by them, and so you don't have to worry about that at all.
Yeah, I've as a flute player, I often have people who ask me if it's a clarinet, or ask, mm-hmm. you know, ask, just not sure, because either they haven't been to the symphony in a while, or you know, players are far enough away that you just aren't sure.
Exactly, and there's no shame in not knowing.
Yeah.
The great thing is you get to find out. You know, you get to come and look at the instruments, try to play them, see. And what's also interesting is each instrument takes a different, you know, technique or way to play it. You know, with the brass, you have to buzz your lips. With the woodwind instruments, you have to blow a column of air through it somehow, whether it's with a reed or over an open little hole. You know, the strings, you have to play with a bow. But even with the strings, it's the difference between playing a violin and a cello is very different, because the width of the strings are so much different. So it's really kind of fun. You get to experience all the different ways that you can make sound.
What is the perfect age or age range that seems to just love these presentations?
We generally find that anywhere between age 4 and then all the way up through the school, you know, your school age. And I know a lot of board members and a lot of older people that love to come to these too, because they're just a lot of fun. And, you know, as with all great children's shows, it operates on a few levels. So the adults will be able to sit there and learn something too, and enjoy some maybe more of an inside joke too, one or two along the way.
Yeah, like visiting a familiar friend and getting to know Beethoven in a slightly
yes.
different way.
Yeah.
What are some other musical highlights that you're planning on using on Sunday?
Yes, one of the great and most famous of, I mean, we just heard Beethoven 5, which is extremely popular. You know, even when I'm with children, almost all of them know those first four notes. And if I sing it to them, they go, oh, that's Beethoven, that's Beethoven. One of my other favorite pieces is his 7th symphony. The second movement is really very profound. And they use this movement at the beginning of the production. It's the first excerpt that you will hear. And it really sets the stage for the drama that's about to take place. And so I think the next one on my list of favorites would be the second movement of Beethoven 7.
You know, I was in a conversation yesterday when I stated something I wish I could take back. I said, I get bored with repetition. It's not that I get bored with repetition. I love repetition when it's done right.
Right. Yes. That is very true, because repetition is really, it's the whole 7th symphony is all about repetition. the first movement, the second movement, the third movement, the fourth movement, he's repeating these little tiny ideas. In Beethoven 5, you get those same four notes just over and over and over. And so one would think that this would be very boring music. But it's really amazing how Beethoven limits himself to just a few little tiny ideas, the tiniest of musical ideas. And he's able to turn them upside down and flip them around and combine them in unique and new ways. And then sometimes he'll have two ideas, and then you'll hear one and then the next. And then all of a sudden, they're superimposed on top of each other. And in the second movement, what's really great is you hear this opening ostinato rhythm. And it's very simple. It's just quarter notes and eighth notes. And you hear that over and over. And there's this beautiful harmonic language too. It's simple, just very, very simple. But then he starts adding little lines over it, and then these little accompanimental figures, and then soon it builds into this really epic texture that is, you can't forget it.
That's the Andante from the Seventh Symphony of Ludwig van Beethoven. And here in the studio, assistant conductor Daniel Breyer is telling us about Beethoven Lives Upstairs, which is a family discovery concert this Sunday. Again, tell us where and when.
Chenery Auditorium at 3 p.m. Make sure you come early. Starting at 2 p.m., we have a lot of pre-concert activities free for ticket holders.
As we were listening to the music and talking about it, you think a lot about music and what it means.
Yes.
And what it could possibly do for young people or people of any age. Tell me some of your philosophy, some of the things that you've been thinking about lately about music.
I think, first of all, to be a musician, you know, we were talking earlier, we have to love what we're doing to be a musician. So it's not hard for a musician to convince another musician why music is so great, because we just, that's just, it's not even hard to think through. But lately I've been thinking, you know, we see a lot of studies that come out and we read a lot of articles that say, you know, if your kid studies Mozart or if your kid plays the piano, they will get, you know, this percentage higher on their math scores. Or, and I think that those are all good studies and great, you know, great things. But on a deeper level, I think the most important thing that music teaches us is to listen. And one of the interesting things about being a professional musician is the amount of listening that happens on a stage. It's really exciting. When working with professional players, they're listening at a higher level than any average person is listening. And we're very, very perceptive. And so we know all the things that are happening around us, and we're constantly adjusting to make everything fit together. And, you know, some people think that the conductor just stands up there and waves his or her arms and makes everything happen. And that really actually is not the case, because we're all listening and we're all participating and we're pulling it all together in different ways. And what's really fun is on the weekdays, I teach at the Kalamazoo Kids in Tune, which is an LC Stemma inspired program that the symphony runs over at Woods Lake. And it's a lot of fun to work with the kids and see how music is helping them and changing their lives. And I still think, and who knows, I may be thinking something different 4 weeks from now, but I really feel like the most important thing they are learning is how to listen. Because soon they're listening to each other, and then they're listening to their teachers more. And all of a sudden, you see these great improvements to who they are as a person, not just, oh, they're doing better on their homework, or they're playing more scales on their violin, or whatever. You see them really blossoming into really fine young people.
What an interesting thing that music can allow you to be an individual, a soloist, but it also requires you to be part of a team and part of a community who responds instantly to the sounds of the people around you.
Correct, yeah. I mean, you know, another interesting thing about music is you learn how to be an individual within a group, as you were saying, but then as you're in that group, disagreements come up. And you also learn how to solve those. I remember a chamber music coach telling my string quartet when we were, rehearsing, and, we were working through a lot of things. He said, "You're not really a group until you've had a big fight." And I didn't understand what he meant. But it's true, though, and maybe not like a real big fight, but working through those disagreements, it just helps you grow on a much different level. And here's a fun little story. At Kids in Tune, we just had a few beginners come into the program, and so it was really fun for me to take one of the older kids who is, he's doing really well on his instrument and maybe has, struggles in class sometimes, or maybe has a hard time tuning out distractions when another kid is goofing off. But I told him, "Can you, take this other little guy, can you teach him the following notes?" And I told him, "Teach him D, E, F sharp, and G." And next thing I know, he's teaching him, providing all this positive reinforcement and like just textbook teaching. And it was really fun to see him do that. I had no idea that he could do that. And really, it's because he was listening to the other kid and recognizing, oh, he's struggling with that. Okay. And then he would come up with a different solution. So it's really fun to see music and how it can change people.
And one's own sense of one's self-worth can grow too by helping others, not just by, being, "I want to be a star." Of course, everyone wants to be.
Right.
That's what you go into it for. I want to be a star. But turns out you get great feelings in being helpful to others and to see others grow as well.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I'm glad we opened it up to that topic. Kalamazoo Kids in Tune is a really interesting program that I think there are some studies going along with this.
Yes.
We're going to look at outcomes in 5 years, 10 years, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah, El Sistema was founded in Venezuela by a really visionary man who was an economist, a musician, a politician, and a philosopher. So he had all these, four seemingly disparate elements just come together in him. And now it's a huge, huge program with, over a million kids have gone through this program. And a lot of people around the world started taking note. So in the United States, there's a whole, it's a loose conglomeration of independent little El Sistema programs, which is actually the model of El Sistema.
Mm-hmm.
And so our little program is teaming up with a bunch of other programs in a research firm and studying over the course of a few years the results that we see. And we're looking at, of course, musically, how much are the kids learning, but we're also seeing if they're making any improvements in behavior or in academics or what other areas they may be struggling with. And so, we do that assessments every couple weeks now, and it's really kind of fun.
I admire that it's based on very simple principles.
Yes.
And it may be different from town to town,
mm-hmm.
this idea of El Sistema and how it's applied. But the simplicity of it is simply make sure there is a meal provided after school.
Yes.
Seems mm-hmm. kind of not important in the big scheme of things, but it's so important.
It's very important.
And then this ability to work alone and with others and and having good adults to guide it.
And that is one of the big things, having the good adults. You know, a lot of, you know, one of the things that I learned going into it is I see, you know, a lot of kids, and then you start to learn about all the things that they have to deal with in their life. And sometimes it's really heartbreaking because we find out that that's the only safe place they know is being in their after school program. And so it's really nice to be able to provide that safe place, but it's more than a safe place. It's very constructive. It's really holistic. And we're, you know, that Kids in Tune, they have homework help too. They have classes in mindfulness, art classes. In the summer, we had a great time. We took them all to Chicago to the Art Institute. So, I mean, it's really, you know, it's a great opportunity for these children.
Well, we've gone a bit astray from our purpose today, which is to talk about the Family Discovery Series. And let's remind folks that the concert is at 3 o'clock in Chenery Auditorium this Sunday afternoon with a petting zoo at 2 p.m. You can support the symphony and find tickets at KalamazooSymphony.com. And there may be some information on Kalamazoo Kids in Tune there. But I know that Public Media Network, PMN, has done a wonderful feature on the program. And you can watch a whole video on teachers and the kids in action at the PMN Network website.
And you can also find a few videos at a new website, KalamazooSymphony.tv. And it takes you directly to our YouTube channel.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
And so you can find we have a lot of, not promotional, but interesting little videos about Kids in Tune, marvelous music, and some of the really great education stuff we do.
Well, one thing that Beethoven held very, very dear was nature.
Yes.
The outdoors, going for a walk.
Yes.
Enjoying the Alps or the little trails around Vienna. And that is something he put into his sixth symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be on the program too?
Yes. Two excerpts from the sixth symphony, the first movement, and then also the storm movement will be. And, you know, he made a daily habit of walking. And that was when he often came. He always had a sketchbook with him. And that's when a lot of his musical ideas came to him. And the sixth symphony is one of those really special pieces that creates this whole separate sound world that you just transports you to a different place. It's really great.
The fifth symphony,
yes,
you know, it's dealing with the biggest, most important things in the universe.
Right.
And then the sixth symphony is completely different. Did they overlap while he was composing them?
They were composed in similar time frame. The fifth symphony, he also started sketching that around the time he was writing Eroica Symphony, the third symphony. And the sixth symphony came shortly thereafter. And so there was one point where he was working on both at the same time. It's really incredible that he could contain that in his mind.
Well, let's listen to the opening of the sixth symphony. Well, Daniel, I just wanted one last chance to say thank you for coming to WMUK and to give you a chance to share once again about the details on Sunday's concert, Beethoven Lives Upstairs.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Tell us again when and where.
Well, 3 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, Beethoven Lives Upstairs with the Kalamazoo Symphony. Come early. Starting at 2, we have a petting zoo and even a meet and greet with myself and a few, maybe a musician or an actor.
And is there any way I can prevail upon you to look forward to the next concert that the KSO will present?
Yes, the next concert will be a few weeks from now, and it will be a really great program of Mozart, the Mozart Oboe Concerto, a Haydn Symphony, number 102, a really very rare concertino for oboe, which is really a charming piece, and then a great new piece by Niko Muuli, who is one of the most interesting, daring, and maybe even provocative composers alive today.
Sounds exciting. All details are available at KalamazooSymphony.com, and you can look at some things to watch at KalamazooSymphony.tv.
Yes, .tv.
All right. Thanks a lot, Daniel. Let's have Beethoven usher us up to the news with some music from the Ninth.
That sounds great.